Please be seated. We've got two readers who are going to come to share the nativity story from the Gospel of Luke. So, Dick and Charlotte. Thank you.
The reading is from St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 1 to 14, and will be continued by Charlotte just after that to complete the reading. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and he was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in hands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy, for all the people to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
When the angels went off from them into heaven, shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and seek this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went in with haste and found Mary and Joseph with the baby laying in a manger. And when they saw it made known and the saying which had been told to them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these pondering in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising the Lord for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Charlotte. Well done, dear. Wonderful. We're going to have some help this morning in human form and, I trust, in divine form. And so I want to pray for that divine form before I ask the human form up. Let's pray together. Lord, you have come to the earth to reveal God and to make your love known. So please be known in our hearts and lives through this morning's service and the breaking of the bread, the sharing of the cup, but also this word now in your name. Amen. Good. So I'm going to imagine that I am Joseph and that you are in heaven and we're having a chat about what went on at that first Christmas, because I guess you've probably got some questions. I have to say that a lot of what I'm going to be sharing is speculation. It is the use of the imagination. But it begins with two things, the Bible and any historical research that I've been able to do. And so I just have to say some of these circumstances are absolutely right. Others I've been extrapolating, building a little bit to imagine, and so please look at the Bible text yourselves, Matthew 1, Luke 2, and check it out for yourselves. Now, I've got some human help. What we're going to do is we are going to look at the first census that occurred in the time that Mary and Joseph came along. And you recognize that perhaps from the Bible passage. I don't know whether you know, but this man here is basically one of the chief men behind the 2011 census. Do you want to just explain that job that you've been doing?
About 10 years to get ready to send all of you a questionnaire that you all filled in, hopefully, in 2011. Bit of a challenge. People living in caravans, houseboats, on street corners. But we counted most people. Not bad.
So, a pretty massive job. And he's just got a new one lined up for February. He'll tell you about later on. But also, I thought, you know, that we've got the birth of a baby, and I haven't ever given birth. Problem. But I've got a mother here, Anna. You also deal with medical things. Just say what you're doing at the moment in terms of serving us.
I just work at QA Hospital, looking after people with indigestion, if you've had too much Christmas meal today, and sort of GI problems, which we won't go into.
Okay, endoscopies and something like that. Okay, nurse assistant she is. And she's been a mother twice, and both of her children are here, actually, as well, which is fantastic. She's not been a teenage mum, and she's not been a mum outside hospital. So there are some things that still we have to use our imagination for, don't we, Anna?
Definitely.
Okay. So, basically, here we go. I'm going to let Pete start us off with a bit of background for the census.
Okay, so I know about our census. I didn't know much about the one that happened 2,000 years ago, but Charles has given me some good facts. So, firstly, it's considered likely by many that this was the first of two censuses in Judea that typically took place every 17 years under the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. It wasn't the Roman custom to require men to go back to their family birth town, but it was the Jewish custom. So it seems Quirinius, who governed Judea and Syria, for the purposes of this census, did it the Jewish way. An estimated date for this first census vary between the year 17 BC to 7 BC, and a census typically began in the late spring of one year and then would continue until the spring 2 years later. So a two-year job. We did ours in 6 weeks. Is that showing off? I don't know. It typically took months for the word to reach the rural outbacks in the provinces, including places like Nazareth. And when it did, it would take even longer for people to make the trip back to their place of birth. But the reason for the census was for taxation purposes. Some people thought it was to tell us they were Jedis. I don't know if you know about that. People wrote their religion as Jedi. Quite a few hundred thousand. Any Jedis here? Mostly Christians, I assume. One Jedi at the front. When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, we know that the small town was brimming over with people. There was nowhere to stay. So we assume this was nearing the deadline for registration. Why had Joseph waited so long?
Okay, I must give some explanation. The fact is that when you're a carpenter and there's very little work in Nazareth, you have to go where it is. And they've been doing a whole lot of reconstruction work on the buildings in Sepphoris. That was Herod the Great's work. And I had a job. And so I was just continuing to work on this job. I don't know whether it happens here in your world, but it is the case that once you step out of line, even to go and obey a census call, you lose a job, quick as dropping a hammer. It goes, somebody else falls into that place, and there you are, out of work. And we needed the money, so I continued my work. I don't know whether you feel that you're just part of a big system. I do. In Sepphoris, there are loads of Roman officials and Roman soldiers. And if you break the law in one tiny instance, they break you. It's hard. I don't like being controlled like that. I'll tell you what, has anybody got any questions at this point? Oh, one here.
Why didn't you go without Mary?
It's to say that again.
Why did you go on your own without Mary?
Why didn't I?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that. Oh, I've got to put it like this. You see, we'd each had a dream. Yeah? I had a dream that an angel was saying to me, you're going to be a father figure for the Messiah. And moreover, this Messiah is going to be born out of your girlfriend. And yet, you're not going to make her pregnant for this Messiah. It was weird, weird dream. And Ms. Mary had also had this apparition of an angel that said to her, you're going to give birth to the Messiah, the everlasting Son of God. And it was so amazing that we knew that we had to stick together on this one, that I wouldn't leave Mary. And it's really tricky to travel without company. And we needed to travel before the babe was born. That was obvious. So we needed to have also company on the journey across this barren land. If you travel in the winter, there's nobody traveling much. And so we had to wait until the spring was breaking. And at that point, the census was nearly up. We were near to our deadline for the census. There's one other thing that I should say, Charlotte, since you asked that question so inventively. Was that we'd searched the scriptures to see where this baby should be born. And we reckoned that it was most likely to be Bethlehem. And now that's a coincidence that my family line comes from Bethlehem. So that's where we thought we were headed.
So here are a few questions that we can ask ourselves from this time with Joseph. Do you have an unlikely calling? Is there something special you're convinced God has called you to do or to be for him at this time in your life? Do you have a commitment to another person, maybe a marriage or a caring relationship as a family member? Is God calling you to stick together come what may? Do you feel powerless and at the mercy of an employer or a system that's beyond your control? Consider whether Joseph's test of faith is yours too, and whether his comfort and reassurance is just the same on offer for you today. Well, here we are for the second part of our story, and it concerns the journey to Bethlehem. And it's most likely that Joseph and Mary took an easterly direction from Nazareth to start with, so that as quickly as possible they could come out of the hill country and join the valley road that has the River Jordan on one side and forest on the other side. They would eventually head in southwest to Jerusalem. At least 7 nights stopping on the way, maybe as many as 10 or more. And as Joseph told us, they would have needed to travel in a caravan with lots of people to avoid being robbed on the way. The forest route was notorious for bands of brigands. They must have packed lots of food and water for the journey, making it really slow going at first over the hilly part down to the Jordan.
Yep. I'd like to tell you a bit about that hilly part. We just packed up with the food and the water on the donkeys. We had a 10-day journey ahead of us. We had to be well packed. And my word, that was arduous, getting down to that valley. And every night, while we're on our journey, because we could only do about 10 miles a day, we were being quizzed by the people round about us. What are you doing in that state, in that condition? What do you think you're taking her through, Mr. Joseph? I seriously had an inward journey at this time of doubt. It began to dawn on me that maybe I'd just had an hallucination, or maybe I had just made it up in my mind in some way. And that, of course, then meant that Mary was pregnant by a man. I knew it hadn't been me. But it was an awful thought. I begin to have doubts about her. And here we are on this struggling journey. At daytime, 36 degrees at least. At night, a chill much worse than we had here last night. It was really, really tough.
Another question for you. Do you have a sense that God is leading you, or do you doubt it sometimes? I know that I do. And even when you're sure of the call, are you faced with too many circumstances preventing it coming about? Too many things that you look at and think it just can't be done? Over to Anna to talk to us about the birth.
A first birth, a teenager giving birth for the first time, scary, just a bit. Who's going to help? An expert midwife, a doctor on hand? Unlikely. Towels, hot water, scissors, medication, gas and air? You'll be joking. With an animal shelter for the labour ward and a weary carpenter builder for my chief nurse, what chances of survival for mother or child? Maybe akin to the rural situation in the poorest of countries today. Sierra Leone, in ordinary conditions today, has an infant mortality rate of 1 in 10 births.
Well, we got down to Bethlehem at last from Jerusalem. And I tell you, the feelings, we came down that last hill and we saw that well-known little town. It was such a joy. We really knew that with God's help, we had made it. Until we came to the outskirts of the village and it was teeming. Loads of people must have been born in Bethlehem. There was just nowhere to stay in the accommodation, which consisted of one inn. That's normally all that they had for travellers. And so what do we do? Do we sit in the street and wail? We had to make the most of these circumstances. We had to say, Lord, you've brought us this far. We must have a way through here. We've got to find it. And Mary let me go and explore. And behind the inn, some 150 yards, was this grotto out of the rock. And it was where they'd been sheltering animals, obviously. But I went to the innkeeper and said, do you mind if we take the place of animals? And they said, no, if you can bear the stench, then you can go and be there among the hay and the fodder. And so that's where we were. But you know, from that moment that we took that step of faith, things began to change. A maid in the inn had an auntie down the road who had some hot towels and brought them, clean hot towels. We found that there were suddenly half the population of Judea whispering and wondering about our little cave. And it had been told us that shepherds had been on the hillside and they had had this host of angels that had come and told them about Jesus. It's amazing. We had been told, each by an apparition or a dream, that we would be the father, so to speak, and the mother of the Messiah, the baby Jesus. And it all came about. It is fantastic. I wouldn't give up anything for that little one who is so fantastic.
Just a last question. Do you know what it is like when things come together? God's word says, all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to God's purpose.
Thank you very much indeed. My human helpers. We're going to just ponder on that for a few seconds before we continue with our worship.